Chapter 5, Louisiana's Native People and Early European Explorers. Native Americans had been in the area that became Louisiana at least 10,000 years before the first Europeans arrived. French colonists like Antoine-Simon Lepage du Prats created writings and drawings that provided information about Louisiana's native people. Between 1718 and 1734, du Prats met and observed members of several Native American tribes. He lived with a member of the Chitimacha tribe and also lived with and learned the language of the Natchez. He recorded in great detail how Native Americans farmed, hunted, dressed, worshipped, celebrated, and buried their dead. The Natchez developed a trading relationship with the French. Many members of the tribe wanted French trade goods like guns and blankets, but not all Natchez agreed that trade with the French was wise. Du Prats recorded the concerns expressed by one Natchez elder. "Before the French came amongst us, we were men content with what we had." Another Natchez chief believed that trading with the French meant only that his people had to set aside part of our corn, our game, and fish to give a part to them. The Natchez had chosen their areas of settlement well. They lived on some of the most fertile land near the Mississippi River. In 1729, two powerful French officials ordered the Natchez to leave their White Apple village so they could turn the rich lands into a tobacco plantation. The Natchez responded by planning a raid on nearby French settlers. They struck on November 28, 1729, killing at least 200 French settlers and taking about 350 as hostages. Their raid was successful in scaring the French, but it did not settle the matter. Within a year, the French struck back at the Natchez with the help of Choctaw allies. By 1731, most remaining Natchez had been killed, captured, or absorbed into other tribes. The Natchez captives were sold as slaves to the French colony of Saint-Domingue. As the story of the Natchez demonstrates, both cooperation and conflict took place in the early interactions between Native Americans and Europeans. The words and images that settlers like Du Prats left behind reveal rich and varied Native cultures. Those same records remind us that Louisiana's Native people were undergoing tremendous challenges and change as a result of the arrival and settlement of Europeans. In this chapter, you will learn about prehistoric Native Americans and how they differed from the historic tribes described by Du Prats. You will also learn about the people who lived in Louisiana at the time of French settlement and how their lives were changed in the process of Louisiana's development. Section 1. Prehistoric Cultures. As you read, look for how archaeologists learn about prehistoric cultures, the characteristics of the Paleo, Meso, Early Neo, and Late Neo eras. Developments in hunting, shelter building, and agriculture from 10,000 BC to AD 1600. Terms: artifact, prehistoric, archaeologist, midden, nomadic, atlatl, mound, agriculture, maize. The first people who lived in the area that is now Louisiana did not leave written records, but some of the items they used in their daily lives have survived, often buried deep in the ground. When these items are dug up, they are called artifacts, objects made by humans, especially ancient tools and weapons. Prehistoric, before the time of written history, people left behind the tools they used for hunting and making shelters, along with the items they used to prepare food or to conduct ceremonies. Taken all together, those items provide archaeologists, scientists who use artifacts from the past to try to understand prehistoric people. A window into how prehistoric people lived. One place archaeologists find artifacts in large numbers is in middens, ancient garbage dumps. Using the material they recover, they can determine which groups of people left the items, when they left them, and how those people lived. It is possible to determine the age of these prehistoric artifacts by using a method called radiocarbon dating. Archaeologists have to piece together a record of the past from partial data. Their work is like putting together a jigsaw puzzle with many of the pieces missing. They try to understand the full picture by relying on the partial artifact record. When they find a new piece of the puzzle, they can fill in more blanks. Sometimes they even changed their previous conclusions based on this new information. Based on differences in the artifact record and what it suggests about how life was changing over time, archaeologists have separated Louisiana's prehistory into four eras. We can use these four eras to divide the past into segments that show similarities. This helps us understand how prehistoric people lived. Paleo Era. The first people to live in Louisiana date to a period called the Paleo Era. The word paleo means ancient. The word era refers to a long period of time. Scientists believe these people first traveled to North America from Asia across a land bridge that once connected today's state of Alaska and the region of Russia called Siberia. This migration is believed to have begun as early as 30,000 BC, followed by subsequent waves of migrants who arrived in North America by 15,000 BC. These people traveled in small groups and moved around to follow animals they hunted. The Paleo people hunted very large animals, including an ancient relative of the elephant called a mastodon. Incredibly, they managed to kill these huge animals using only spears made from wooden poles topped with sharpened stones called spearheads or tips. Archaeologists think the Paleo people traded for these stones in areas as far away as Arkansas and Texas. Paleo people ate the meat from the animals they killed and used their skins to make clothing, blankets, and coverings for their shelters. Because they followed the animals as they moved seasonally, their shelters were temporary. When groups of Paleo people reached what is today Louisiana, they found many of the kinds of animals they needed to survive. They also discovered plants and water-based creatures they could eat as well. Meso Era. Around 7500 BC, Earth's climate changed. As a result, some very large animals like the mastodon died out, and people began to hunt smaller animals like deer and rabbits, which inhabited smaller areas. Native people no longer had to travel constantly to keep up with migrating herds. This change signals the beginning of the Meso Era, where people were still nomadic, wandering from place to place, but were beginning to stay in the same place for longer periods of time. The word meso means middle. Louisiana's environment provided birds, mammals, fish, clams, reptiles, seeds, roots, nuts, grains, and fruits. Men were the hunters. They killed deer, rabbits, raccoons, and squirrels for food. Women were the gatherers. They collected acorns, hickory nuts, pecans, persimmons, elderberries, and huckleberries. The Meso people changed their hunting methods and tools to adapt to smaller game. They developed a spear-throwing device called an atlatl. An atlatl was a shaft of wood with a small cup or groove on the end. The base of a spear fit into that cup. The atlatl allowed hunters to throw the spear with greater speed and accuracy. This tool helped them target the smaller, faster animals they now depended on for food. In addition to atlatls, their improved tools included axes and awls, long, sharp spikes used to pierce holes in wood or leather. Because Meso people moved around less, their shelters changed as well. They became sturdier because they were meant to last longer. Meso people covered wood posts with branches or other plant materials they wove together. As they settled for longer periods, they also began to build earthen structures, some of which have lasted into the modern period. Meso people began building these artificial hills, called mounds, as early as 5000 BC. The oldest mounds in Louisiana date to about 3000 BC. Archaeologists believe the earliest mounds were used for special ceremonies, but not for burials. The artifact record of Meso people is richer than for Paleo people. Archaeological expeditions, called digs, because they bring the artifacts up from inside the earth, have discovered stones that were shaped and polished for use as jewelry or decoration. Meso people left behind bone needles and fishing hooks, baskets, beads, hairpins, tortoiseshell rattles, and shell ornaments. Early Neo Era. The shift from the Meso to the early Neo Era took place around 2000 BC. The word Neo means new. Although Meso people left many artifacts, early Neo people left behind an even wider variety of goods. Importantly, around 1000 BC, Neo people began to make pottery. Archaeologists have found large numbers of shards, broken pieces of pottery, at sites all around the state. The pottery varied a great deal. Some of it was very plain and probably made for everyday use. Some was decorated with complex artistic designs. These vessels may have been used in ceremonies. The early Neo people also made other kinds of items with decorative or ceremonial purposes. Archaeologists have discovered copper ear spools and bracelets, beads, pendants made from animal teeth, pottery pipes, and small human and animal figurines. Many of these items seem to have been treasured by their owners since they were buried with people after they died. The development of the bow and arrow around AD 500 is another advancement of this period. The bow was made from soft wood like hickory that could be bent into the right shape. The strings were made from stretched deer tendons. The arrow was also made from local wood and topped with a sharpened stone called an arrowhead. During this 2,800-year period, people began living together in larger groups. They established villages and stayed in them as long as food in the area was abundant. When food became scarce, they would move to another site temporarily. Besides animals like deer or birds, the Neo people ate wild fruits like grapes and a wild grain called amaranth. Amaranth is a seed-bearing plant that is rarely eaten today. Fish, shellfish, and oysters added more variety to their diet. Late Neo Era. The late Neo Era began about AD 800 and ended around AD 1600. During this period, native villages became even larger, and houses were made more permanent. Now they were built from wattle and daub, woven sticks covered with a layer of mud. Late Neo people also continued to build mounds. In this period, they also began to build temples on them. These so-called temple mounds were used for sacred ceremonies. There was often an open plaza between two or more mounds that was used for ceremonies and other gatherings. Late Neo-era villages grew in size and were often located near waterways, which the villagers used both for travel and as a source for food. The late Neo people switched from gathering to agriculture, settled farming. By this time, some groups began to live in the same place year-round. This allowed them to plant and harvest crops. Their main crops were maize, corn, beans, squash, and pumpkins. The late Neo people developed a planting method called intercropping. This involved planting two or more crops with different harvest times in the same plot of land. For example, beans and pumpkins could sprout, grow, and be ready to harvest before corn in the same plot could mature. This method allowed the Neo people to harvest three crops from the same area in a single planting season. Life changed a great deal for Native Americans between 30,000 BC and AD 1600. The encounter with Europeans accelerated those changes. Special feature: the mystery of Poverty Point. Imagine flying over an area in northeastern Louisiana, about 15 miles from the Mississippi River, and looking down on six large semicircle ridges on a bluff overlooking Bayou Masson. These ridges are part of the Poverty Point State Historic Site in West Carroll Parish. The earthen structures were built between 1700 BC and 1100 BC. You won't find any other Native American structures of this size or age in the Western Hemisphere. The mounds were begun before the Mayans of Mexico started building their pyramids, or the Inca their cities and roads. Poverty Point's six semicircle ridges, located one behind the other and divided by four aisles, create a C shape and cover an area larger than a square mile. It is estimated that the ridges were once at least 5 feet high, but have been worn down by erosion and plowing over the centuries. In addition to the ridges, the site contains several other mounds. The largest of these, Mound A, is called the Bird Mound because it has the shape of a bird when seen from above. Archaeologists have determined that none of these Poverty Point mounds were used for burials. It is believed that the ridges were bases for homes. The artifacts discovered at Poverty Point have led archaeologists to believe that the site was a massive trade center. Stone from the Ozark Mountains, Ohio and Tennessee River valleys, and Appalachian Mountains in Georgia have been discovered there. By 600 BC, the Poverty Point culture had disappeared. Archaeologists are not sure why the culture vanished. The site gets its name from a plantation that occupied the same land in the 19th century. The National Park Service has named Poverty Point a national monument, but there are no federal facilities. The Louisiana Department of Culture, Recreation, and Tourism operates Poverty Point as a state historic site and conducts tours March through October. In June of 2014, Poverty Point received the great honor of being selected as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Of the 1001 UNESCO United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization World Heritage Sites around the globe, such as Stonehenge in England and the Great Wall of China, only 22 are located in the United States. Poverty Point will be the first in Louisiana. What do you think this prestigious selection will mean for this area of northeastern Louisiana? Special feature, Marksville's Ancient Past. Located in Avoyelles Parish near the city of Alexandria is the Marksville State Historic Site. The site is situated on a bluff overlooking the old river and covers 42 acres of land. Archaeologists first began studying the site in 1926. They believe that it was a prehistoric Native American ceremonial center. Based on their investigations, archaeologists determined that the people who built the mounds at Marksville were part of the Hopewell culture. This culture was centered in the Ohio River Valley and was known for its ceremonies and extensive trade networks. Construction of the site began about 2,000 years ago, but all that remains are some earthworks and mounds. A horseshoe-shaped wall of earth that stretches for 3,300 feet and ranges between 3 and 7 feet tall surrounds the ancient site. That's about the same length as 11 football fields. The open side of the horseshoe is the edge of a bluff along Old River. Because there are several openings in the earthworks, archaeologists believe that the purpose of the site was for ceremonies, not defense. The wall was probably built to create a separate area for burial, as well as a place to conduct formal affairs. Within the walls, there are 6 mounds that range in size and shape. More mounds are located outside the walls. The tallest mound, known as Mound 4, has a diameter of 100 feet, is 30 feet tall, and was used for burials. Mound 5 is aligned to certain movements of the sun, moon, and stars. Remember, there were no bulldozers to help with the project. The natives had only primitive stone and wooden tools. What purposes might there have been for putting so much effort into the construction of the earthworks?